The book of Joel, the book of Joel, chapter 2. And I'd love to tell you what page it is in your Bible, but we all have different Bibles, so you're going to have to find it on your own. But it's between Hosea and Amos, if that helps you. Joel chapter 2, beginning at verse 28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. And that's as far as we'll read today. Today is Pentecost Sunday, of course. And we often attribute what Abigail read for us in the beginning of the service today from Acts chapter 2 to Pentecost Sunday, because that is the actual story of Pentecost at that time. But Joel talks about the same sort of things happening. Joel lived about 500 to 550 years before Christ, experts say. And in that time, Joel wrote these words, this prophecy, that God's going to pour out his spirit on all people. And that sons and daughters will prophesy, old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, and even on servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Joel's talking about what it's going to look like in the last days, the day of the Lord. It's interesting to note that we look at this, we may look at this text and we may say, well, you know, what's the big deal? This is the story of Pentecost, of course. But in Joel's day, this is radical news. Because God's Spirit was reserved for people of status, essentially, or for certain select people. God's Spirit was given to, say, prophets, priests, and kings, rather than to everyday people. And so when Joel says these words that were given to him by God, by the Spirit himself, your sons and daughters are going to prophesy, he's going, well, what do you mean? You mean our young men and young women, our kids are going to tell us what the Lord's saying? What are you talking about, Joel? What are you saying? Like, our inexperienced little kids are going to prophesy? And old men are going to dream dreams? Like, you're talking about old senile men. They're going to prophesy to us. They're going to tell us what the Spirit is saying. Really, Joel? Or your young men are going to see visions. What? Young men don't see visions, Joel. Only those who are chosen by God himself see visions. And even servants, Joel, really? Even servants, even these slaves, they're going to prophesy to us? Slaves have no status at all. What do you mean that they're going to prophesy? What do you mean that they're going to give the word of God to anybody? That's ridiculous, Joel. But 500 years later, we are seeing it happen on the day of Pentecost, in that day of Jerusalem. You see, Joel's talking about the days after, the days that are yet to come, the days that are coming even for beyond us yet, or beyond us. Joel's talking about the last days, the final days. And we are living in those days. We talked about that last week a little bit, that we are living in that time. And so what Abigail read for you today was exactly that. The disciples are all gathered together in one room in Jerusalem. They were told by Jesus before he ascended to heaven, just a mere 10 days before this day, 10 days ago, that they should not leave Jerusalem, that they should stick around. And so they're obeying Jesus. They're staying where they are, as they should. And God is saying, and God enters in. The Holy Spirit comes in and enters in through the sound of a violent wind, through the sound of, say, a hurricane or a tornado-like wind. Not the wind itself, just the sound. And that sound is so prevalent in the area that the people around the place start to hear something that's drawing their attention to the place where the disciples are. And then they see this amazing phenomena of what look like tongues of fire that go and land on each of the disciples. And each of the disciples receive this, and then they start to speak in other languages. Languages and dialects and the tones of every corner of the known world at that time, they are hearing the gospel in their own language. They are hearing the words of God in their own language. The Spirit has entered into them, and they get to speak it in their own language. And they are all Galilean. Okay? They all come from a certain place in northern Israel. They're not from all over Israel. And they're not from all over the Middle East. They are all from a certain place where there's a certain dialect being spoken. And so it's not just separate languages, but it's separate dialects as well. And you know what it's like. People from a certain area of a certain country can talk in a totally different dialect than other people halfway across the country. That's the way it happens in humanity. People grow up in a certain area and they learn a certain way of talking, a certain way of speaking, and then it can get mixed up with the official language, if you might say. My mom came from Friesland. I may have told you this before. Friesland in Holland. It's in northern Holland. And those who talk real Fries, they would have a different dialect that even though they could understand proper Dutch, not the proper Dutch might not be able to understand them so much. And so so they had a different dialect. And sorry, my apologies to those of you. I know there's several people in our congregation who come from the similar place. But they were known to have backwards language, essentially. But in the days of Pentecost, even they would be understood, because there would be somebody there who would be speaking that language there as well. You see, so every dialect, everything was moving towards people understanding without barrier, without translation problems. Everything was, the name of God was going out from there. And it was totally awesome. It was totally awesome. And people thought that they were crazy. Now, the ones that were there thought that they were crazy. They thought that they were nuts. They thought, some of them, if you read verse 13, the verse after Abigail's last verse, He says some of them thought they were drunk. And indeed, it would seem that way to some. But that was quickly debunked by, I think it was Peter, who said that, no, they're not drunk at all. In fact, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. I'd like to tell you a story. The Holy Spirit is now, before I get to my story, the Holy Spirit is now reaching out, not in any other way, but to all the people. So where Joel, in Joel's time, where the Holy Spirit was just reserved for a few, in the Old Testament, where the Holy Spirit was just saved for a few, now at Pentecost, after Jesus has passed, the Holy Spirit is reserved for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. It's not just for those select few like David or Moses or Abraham or Ruth or Rahab or Daniel. Not just those biblical heroes. Now it's for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. They all receive the Holy Spirit. And what is the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit in you or in me? The Holy Spirit is an interconnectedness. It's an integration. Remember last week I was talking about how sin disintegrated us, how sin disintegrated everything? Disintegrated our relationship to God. The Holy Spirit reintegrates our relationship to God. And so this is just a continuation of God's salvation plan. Now, instead of God with us being Jesus, Emmanuel means God with us. God with us really means now that God is inside of us. That God's soul, his very soul, is reaching into our souls and communicating and directing and filling. Now I'll get to my story. Several weeks ago, I was out on one of my morning walks, and I was walking up this one street, and in a parking lot of an apartment place that's in town here that has a less than honorable reputation, I'll just say that. There was a gentleman out in the parking lot, and he called to me, and to keep it sort of, you know, to protect the names of the innocent, I'll just say his name was Bill. Now, Bill called to me, and he said, "Hey, it's a great day!" And I said, "Yeah, it is a great day." You don't normally expect that from a guy who's talking to you at about 7 o'clock in the morning, especially I wouldn't expect that from that particular parking lot. But he said, "Hey, it's a great day." And I said, "Yes, it is a great day." He says, "Listen to the bird song." And this was the time, it was a morning something like this. I think it was a Friday morning. And it was a morning that was something like this. It was a little bit cooler. It was clear. And it was a morning where we first started hearing the bird song. So I think the first robins were starting to sing. And as the robins were singing, Bill was proclaiming the praises of Almighty God. He says to me, "You hear that song? You hear the birds? They're praising God." And that got me. I'm walking towards Bill at this point, because I want to talk to him. Now, it turns out Bill was a resident of that particular place for a little time, and Bill was moving on to a different place that day. He was moving, that's why he was up so early. But Bill started talking to me. He doesn't know me from Adam. He doesn't know me in this town. He never saw me before. I've never seen Bill before. And he started telling me all about Jesus Christ. He started preaching to me. You know what, folks? I needed to hear it. I needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I needed to have that pour into me. And this is the language that is used in Scripture, that the Holy Spirit pours in. Not spritzes, not sprinkles, not dribbles, but pours in. Dumps in. I needed to hear that day. And here Bill is telling me all about it. Telling me all about Scripture. Telling me all about the Holy Spirit. Now, I would normally think, through reputation of the place where he was living, that people would normally be filled with another type of spirits, if you know what I mean. But Bill was filled with the Holy Spirit. Bill was filled to the brim, and he was overflowing with it. In fact, Bill kept looking up towards God, up towards heaven, up in the sky, saying, "Thank you, Lord," and then he would keep on going. He would keep on talking with the next tidbit of praise and adulation that he had for his God, thinking that he was talking to a total stranger, which he was, thinking that he was talking to somebody who didn't know God. Now, after we talked, we probably talked for about half an hour or 45 minutes. And after we talked for a while, I learned about Bill a bit. Bill had an obvious physical disability. He had many surgeries due to an accident, and his several vertebrae were fused in his back, so at least he could walk. But he did walk, although it was a very stiffened walk with lots of pain. He told me he lived in chronic pain. Bill was full of hurt, but because of relational problems and because of bad choices in his life, but Bill was over that. And Bill was now full of the Spirit of God that he shared with me. And he filled me to overflowing. He filled me right up so that there was no doubt in my mind. I walked away from there feeling totally refreshed, totally new, totally free because of what Bill did that day for me. Have you ever had somebody like that come up to you? Just talk to you out of the blue? Not somebody who says, "Well, I know a lot about the Bible and I'm going to tell you all about the Bible," and starts spouting off stuff. Because there are people like that too, that turn you off. But that have a genuine interest, a genuine outpouring of the Spirit to cause you to get that connection happening back again with God. That interconnectedness, that integration back with God. You ever had somebody like talk to you like that? Have you ever been somebody like that? That talked to somebody else like that? I think many of us would like to do that. We would like to talk to other people about God. I think because we are all called to do that, really. We're all called to talk to others about God. That's the Great Commission, no? Yes, it is. Of course it is. The Great Commission: go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28. We all want to do this, but somehow we hold on to our spirit-filledness. God fills our spirit with himself, and we hold on to it like it's so precious to us. And it is precious. God fills us with himself, but it's only as good as we give it away. And I think many of us struggle with that. We struggle with this idea that we shouldn't be giving our spirit away, or what God's given to us away. We should hold on to it. because it's precious. Or maybe we're just ashamed of the Spirit, and we don't want other people to think something of us that we don't want to proclaim. We don't want to change their way of looking at us, maybe. But the Great Commission goes way further than to go and make disciples out of other people other than ourselves. The Great Commission also calls us to keep on filling each other up too. Again, it comes down to sharing the Spirit. You know, God's got an endless supply of Holy Spirit to fill us with. He fills us, He pours it into us so that it's overflowing out of us. It's just gushing out of us. But it only works when we fill others with it. It only works when we help to elevate others, or when we pour the Spirit into others, when we encourage others, when we give others that needed advice that they're so desiring, when we're just coming up to them and even giving them a call for a moment and saying, "Hey, how are you doing?" And giving them that consolation to know that God is with them as well. They know that people are praying for them. You know, in our struggle that we're living in right now, it's so prevalent of the loneliness of people these days, because this is going on and on and on in our neck of the world. Since March 15, we've been doing online services. And now we're at the end of May. And people in our midst, in our congregation, in our world, and outside of our circles need to be filled with the Spirit these days. They need to hear it, because the times are calling for it. As Joel points out, God's Holy Spirit is going to pour into people, is going to pour into the people so that they can repeat it to others. So that the young men and everyone who is filled with the Spirit can receive it. That's what Joel is saying. But Joel is also saying, and also in the last times you will see wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke, says Joel. And the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, the color of blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I wish the NIV didn't use dreadful there, because really it's awesome. It's a huge spectacle. That's what it really means. And dreadful, yes, fear. There's fear in it, but it's more of an awe thing, more than a fear thing. And this is the key point. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, we live in those times now, after Pentecost, post-Pentecost, where the Spirit is filling us up too and causing us to be a little bit like Bill, just to talk to other people about how great God is. Not all of us have that approach that Bill does, but we need to fill other people. Fill them to overflowing. And we can't reserve it for ourselves. You know, this reminds me of a passage found in 2 Kings 4, where we have the prophet Elisha, we have a widow, and we have some oil. These are the three things. The widow comes up, just lost her husband, comes up to Elisha and says, "Listen, I've just lost my husband. I have two sons, and all my husband left me was debt. And now the creditor is coming up to me and asking for his money. or he's going to take my two sons as slaves. And I think we all know how that goes. The debt's never going to be repaid as long as slaves are repaying it. And so Elisha says to her, he says, what do you have? Like, what a value do you have? And she says, all I have is a small jar of oil, a half jar of oil in my house, olive oil. So Elisha says, go and get as many jars as you can. Go to your neighbors. Grab as many jars as you can. Get as many as you can. Cups, jars, buckets, pails, I don't care. Get as much as you can. And so the woman goes and goes to her neighbors, gets all these jars, puts them all in her house with her sons. Elisha says, go in behind the door and start pouring. And of course, the miracle of the story is that she starts to pour the olive oil. And the olive oil doesn't stop pouring until every pail, jar, bucket, cup, every container in that house is filled with olive oil. Then the oil stops. The Holy Spirit is the same way. This is the same thing. Out of our half vessel of what we may have of the Holy Spirit, it's only as good as much as we can pour it out. But we will never run out. It will be infinite for us. It will always be full enough to fill the next vessel. But as soon as we stop pouring it, as soon as we hold it back, as soon as ourselves or our sinful selves say, nope, I'm going to allow God to fill Bill or God to fill George or Janie or whoever, I'm going to allow God to fill that person. I'm not going to talk to them. They can work it out on themselves, for themselves. That's when our oil stops. That's when we stop getting filled. It's only as good as you give it away. Give it to God. Give it to others. This is what it means to live in community. We all need encouragement. Like I got encouragement on that day talking to Bill. We all need that, especially at this time. And so when somebody's on your heart, let it pour. Pour it out. Call that person. Talk to that person. Reach out. Anyone who comes to your heart. When there's somebody that God's pointing in your direction, it may come to your mind. Somebody may say, hey, you know that such and such is going through a tough time? You know that such and such hasn't seen anybody in like 3.5 weeks? Has been cooped up in their house for 3.5 weeks? Go and talk to that person. Call, visit, meet. You can porch visit at this time. Just keep your distance. Stand out in the driveway. Have a chat. You don't have to stay long. Just talk. You can still do things even with this virus. You can let it pour. You can let it, God's Spirit, lavish out of you into somebody else. This is what it means to share God's love. Let it pour. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, we pray that we would be able to read the signs. That when you are speaking to us, that we are letting your Spirit pour out of us and into others. We know that our supply of the Holy Spirit is endless. We believe in Jesus Christ. And we know that that Spirit is endless, that that interconnection, God, that you have with us is growing strong and is getting stronger. But we ask, God, that it would come through in a very real and dynamic way, that we would be able to pour it into others. Help us, God, and bless us as we continue to be the church, to live this life that you've given, and to be your children in it all. In Jesus we pray. Amen. We'll sing a song of response. We'll sing, "Take Us to the River."